Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week, Mark Giantonio visits the GGB Podcast to talk about his 7 years at the helm of Resorts Atlantic City and how it has been impacted by the opening of two casinos nearby on the boardwalk. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by RIMAX, the industry's largest incentive provider and experts in customer loyalty, employee recognition, player loyalty, and corporate gifting. For more information, visit RIMAXinc.com. Resorts Atlantic City was on the verge of closing several years ago until Morris Valley bought the property for $30 million. He hired Dennis Gomes to run the property and brought in Margaritaville as a theme. After the death of Dennis Gomes, Bailey brought in Mohegan Gaming and Entertainment to run the casino. Mohegan appointed longtime Atlantic City executive Mark Giantonio as president and CEO. In addition to more meeting space, renovated hotel rooms and casino space, and more F&B outlets, Giantonio has guided the casino through the opening of two nearby casinos. He spoke with me at his offices at Resorts Atlantic City in July. Mark Giantonio, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you here at Resorts. So it has been 1 year since your neighbors opened last year, Hard Rock and Ocean. What kind of impact did that have on Resorts?
Well, I mean, it's an unprecedented amount of capacity to open all at one time, June 28th of 2018. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. I have 11 million square feet of all new capacity.
Right.
The great thing is that, we're attached to Hard Rock, and Hard Rock, Jim Allen and Joe Lupo, they're great operators.
Right.
And you have, the commitment from the Giungoli family and Jack Morris family. So, it took that type of brand and that type of kind of leadership to take over that property and, get it up and running, and they're doing a really good job there.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, we're happy that we're connected to them.
Sure.
We try to work collectively, and, we're working as a group with Ocean as well to try to help rebrand this part of town.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that's very important. So, it was we knew it was going to come,
right.
Roger.
Sure.
The two properties were going to get reopened, and we've planned all along for that day.
Okay. But you were kind of stuck up here on your own when those properties were closed. You were kind of at the end of the boardwalk. And does this give you a critical mass so that at least you get some spillover or things of that nature? People come up here for other reasons?
Yeah, I mean, there were pros and cons of about being the only one. Clearly when the five casinos closed, that included the Taj. There was a lift in everybody's boat. But at the end of the day, Atlantic City is about bringing as many people to town as possible. So, having Hard Rock connected to us, I mean, it just makes the synergy so much better.
Sure.
When this facility was owned and operated, and back in those days,
sure, right.
This is the entity that envisioned that property and kind of helped to build that property.
Right.
So it was almost looked like as a single campus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. So again, this end of the boardwalk, even if there are three casinos up there, it's disconnected from the other part of the boardwalk, and you've been here long enough to know we used to call it the dead zone.
Right.
Well, it's not that dead anymore. You've got the Orange Loop down there. You've got the North Beach collection of all the businesses that are promoting this end of town. Is that having an effect so far, and what do you think it's going to do in the future?
It absolutely is. I think the spirit of cooperation and working together really helps to effectuate the change that is needed, starting with, the Orange Loop and all the businesses between us and Ocean, working collectively together.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think I just showed you out on the deck here that the beach is one of the, if not the nicest beach in Atlantic City.
Yep.
It's full of great, people. People love to come here. There's great F&B product right out on the beach. So,
right.
you can't beat it.
So the cooperation is not just within the casino, it's all with the individual businesses, the new businesses that have opened in the Orange Loop area?
That's right. Yeah, we work collectively together with the Lighthouse and, many different businesses, Tennessee Avenue and the Orange Loop folks. And, you know, to just make this the best part of town
right.
ever. So,
are you hoping that will encourage other businesses to come to this part of town? Because there's still a lot of vacant buildings.
Yeah, there is a lot of vacant buildings, but there are a lot of new businesses moving in. So there's a new restaurant on Tennessee Avenue mm-hmm. opening. And, you know, I think that, you know, it's like a domino effect. Once mm-hmm. the first domino falls, you know, it builds and builds and builds.
Right.
In our case, Morris really, you know, when he was looking to buy something in Atlantic City, he looked at a number of different properties. He mm-hmm. selected this property with the vision of having, you know, look, you know, he needed to spend money here to bring this property back to life, which he has allowed us to do. And that's why I said we really prepared for this day,
sure.
you know, with the new casinos opening.
Right, right. Well, one of the things you did in preparation was expand the Landshark Bar, and right. that was a great bar to begin with. How much has that impacted the revenues there?
Well, it's been great. I mean, you know, when Landshark was built, the whole emphasis was on the beach. Mm-hmm. So you go into Landshark, you know, we built a beach bar right out in front of the bar, the restaurant. And so what was missing was we had a lot of retail in the area. So if you were on the boardwalk at night, you were looking into the back of a retail store.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, eliminating a lot of that retail, built a great bar, mm-hmm. now have a great deck right on the boardwalk.
Sure.
So it's really helped us,
right.
Help the whole area.
Well, that's a great view of the beach, too, when you're on the other side looking at the ocean. It's so comfortable to sit there,
yeah.
And I guess your customers really enjoy that.
Well, it's nothing like it. I mean, there really is nothing in Atlantic City or probably on the East Coast that's so nice. I mean, that Landshark building is just spectacular. Mm-hmm.
So the Margaritaville theme is you know, included there and in parts of the casino and the restaurant you have in the building.
That's correct.
Are you happy with the way that's performing? Has it attracted those Margaritaville fans, those Jimmy Buffett fans?
Yeah, I mean, you know, since it opened back in 2013, I guess it was, we built it and it opened in 13. I mean, it's really helped to change the whole demographic of our property, mm-hmm. you know, with you know, that type of clientele, music oriented, Buffett
right.
oriented. So it's been very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Great. Another thing that you added a few years ago was some more meeting and convention space. And
yeah.
I remember when you opened it, I saw it was really first class. Has that really worked out well for you?
It has. That was an interesting analysis because what we did. One of the things when you work for Morris, you know, we do our homework and
right.
make sure when we're going to spend money, it makes a lot of sense. So we had this, the oldest buffet in Atlantic City, which
right.
was there. And we felt like the buffet had seen its course after all these years.
Right.
And instead of tearing it apart and rebuilding it, we built a state-of-the-art food court on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
We knew we had to lose slot capacity. We had
sure,
way
right.
too many slots.
Yeah.
This is back 13. 14. So we took the slots out, built a great food court. What we saw immediately was our time on device with a slot customer went way up.
Yeah.
And then we built the conference center in the footprint of the buffet,
mm-hmm.
which enabled us to double our convention room nights annually because we just didn't have the capacity to generate convention business here.
Sure.
So it's been a home run capital project and really helped us grow our EBITDA.
Okay, great. So let's talk about how the ownership and the managing partner work yeah. here with Morris Bailey and Mohegan Gaming and Entertainment. Do they work cooperatively together and you're kind of the point man? How does that work?
They do.
Yeah.
So Morris, after, of course, the unfortunate passing of Dennis Gomes,
right.
dear
mm-hmm.
friend of mine, when he passed, Morris was about a year and a half into this
mm-hmm.
and he had to decide exactly what to do and,
right.
you know, whether he was going to, you know, sell and get out, or then he doubled down and he brought in Mohegan Sun after a pretty extensive search for a management company. So Mohegan is responsible for the management of the asset. They own 10% of the company. And Morris and his family and Mohegan, I always call it like a match made in heaven. You
right.
know, you have, you know, Mario, who runs Mohegan Sun,
mm-hmm.
Contamercus, and the team up there,
right.
Michael Silberling, I mean, they do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a lot of expansion. But this was really the first asset that they kind of took under
right.
management. So it was an important asset to them, and they really have helped us and guided us to, you know, how do we deploy capital? You know, what's the most important? And probably the most important thing is that we have the use of their database in this now quad with Niagara,
right.
you know, regional area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really been a match made in heaven very good partner to have. And, you know, with Morris, you know, for me, it's like, you know, it's a great scenario because there's no better person in the business, I think, than Morris Bailey.
Right.
And when you couple that with Mohican and the quality people in Mohican, it's just, you know, you'd be really disappointed if we weren't successful, but we always knew we would be.
Sure. Yeah. So how does that work with Mohican in terms of the database? Are you able to comp customers from Mohican here and vice versa?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty seamless. Mm-hmm. Customers that play here that can redeem their comps there and vice versa. And it's a nice environment. You know, and it was funny because when we initially did this, our property wasn't – we spent about $140 million renovating the property, but in the very early days, we didn't have all that capital deployed. So it was a little sketchy. How are we going to get a Connecticut customer here? But it was amazing that how successful it was, because what happened was when a Connecticut customer came to Atlantic City, of course, it's not the same building as the Connecticut property, but it was the service that won them over. Mm-hmm. And then as we improve the product, you know, there's a nice balance to the experiences. So you can go from AC to Wilkesboro to Connecticut to now Niagara, and then of course across the country.
Sure.
So, you know, it's working out very well.
Okay, great.
Our sponsor this week is RIMAX, an incentive powerhouse. RIMAX engages, empowers, and excites your customers and employees through the power of premium incentive merchandise. With access to over 15,000 trending products from 400 of today's top brands, RIMAX offers an unmatched portfolio of premium rewards that engage and inspire. Whether you're focused on corporate gifting, employee engagement, player loyalty, or customer retention, RIMAX has custom design programs to fit all of your incentive needs. For more information, visit RIMAXinc.com. Now back to our podcast.
So let's talk about the service. I mean, you know, you've had a lot of longtime employees here, and there was a little disconnect, I think, when Morris bought it, you know, and I forget exactly what happened, but there was a period there when everybody got fired and got rehired. Are there a lot of original or at least, you know, longtime employees still here?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in the case that you're mentioning, when Morris bought the property in 2010, he could have closed it completely.
Right.
And done some of the renovations.
Right.
And, you know, if you get to know a guy like Morris, there was no way he was going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he cared about the people too much. So, you know, but so he'll, you know, kept the place open, allowed everybody to apply for the same job they had. And at the end of the day, it worked out great. We have, I think, the most loyal, the most motivated team, you know, certainly that I've been in this business a long time. This team is just motivated beyond belief. And I think a lot of it goes to, you know, Morris's dedication with the property because, you know, the place could have been closed.
It didn't
have to be rescued. And, you know, this was no easy task. And and there was a lot of people thinking, you know, you got to be crazy taking an older building like resorts. But I think there's a place and time for everything. And if you do it right and you run things properly, you can be successful. You can find success.
And I think the employees, you know, before Morris came into the property, were a little bit disheartened because they'd gone through so much changes in ownership over the years. And now here comes a guy who's really dedicated. So that did that really rededicate them to the property?
It did. All I can tell you is when I got here, the employees were, you know, just really highly motivated.
Right.
So it's not certainly something that I had a lot to do with because – again, I think it goes back to 2 years prior.
Sure.
Morris and Dennis, they reinvigorated. I mean, this place was on a gurney.
Right.
It was going to close.
Sure.
And you know, you think you saved 2,000 employees' jobs. It's pretty meaningful.
Sure. I remember, you know, everybody was, which casino is going to close first? And Resorts was
always
at the top. But you know how Dennis could motivate employees wherever he was. So, I think they were grateful for that kind of motivation as well as I still have my job.
Yeah. I always say, you know, Resorts was the first one open 41 years ago, built in 1920s. We'll be the last one standing.
Right. Exactly right. So the competition in Atlantic City has always been tough, and, you know, this round is no different. I mean, you've got these crazy tier matching programs, you know, in all the casinos. And how have you responded to that?
It's crazy, Roger. I mean, you know, again, I think it's just everybody's reaction to what is – extremely difficult periods of time. I mean, organically, you know, the same store is just not growing. where, you know, we'd like it to be. Mm-hmm. I think we've been bucking the trend a bit where our tables is actually growing.
And, right.
You know, we have great Asian business and so forth. But at the end of the day, it's a hard market. And, you know, I don't think it helps, you know, with all these aggressive offers. It's probably, you know, so you hear some people say it's a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's been a whole year now plus that mm-hmm. they've been open. And, you know, hopefully I think we're starting to see some semblance of discipline. Mm-hmm. I hope that's the case heading into the winter. Mm-hmm. But for us, you know, I think we're benefited by being on this. This is really one of the nicest parts of town now,
sure,
believe it or not.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, I probably wouldn't feel this way had we not made all the investment. But we really have a great product mm-hmm. and great service. So I think as long as you run things properly, you know, you can get through times like this. Mm-hmm.
Do you think I have a little advantage here with the Caesars El Dorado purchase pending here? I mean, Caesars is going to be kind of running in place until that's settled, and then El Dorado is going to come in and figure out what they have to do. So do you think you have like, you know, at least a year to kind of poach some of their customers or create more loyalty amongst yours? Or
Yeah. I mean, I who knows? You know, I think that, you know, it's an incredible deal that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And how it all shakes out, it's really, you know, there's a lot of speculation.
Right.
So, you know, we're always looking for opportunity to acquire a new customer.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we find is when we acquire a new customer, it's almost foolproof. They're going to stay with us.
Right.
You know, everybody has, you know, great attributes in town. And we just have a little niche that when we get our new customers in, it's, you know, they tend to want to stay with us.
So tell us the impact of sports betting. You've been lucky enough to have DraftKings under your roof. They're one of the really the leading sports betting site in New Jersey.
Yeah.
How much has that helped bring new customers in here?
It's been a great partner. I mean, DraftKings, they're professionals beyond belief,
mm-hmm.
and you know, Morris, you know, cut a great deal with them, and you know, we're excited about their success.
Mm-hmm.
We partnered and opened up what we think was the nicest and best sports book in Atlantic City
mm-hmm.
Back in November, and it was a, you know, kind of a joint partnership, and it has immediately kind of transformed our property.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's all, you know, the state of the art sports book,
mm-hmm.
but it's coupled with a great sports bar, great food, and then we opened a sushi restaurant right next to it,
mm-hmm.
and refined our Chinese restaurant. So that whole area has been livened up, and there's no question a whole new customer's coming to the property now.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps in so many ways, the ancillary revenues, gaming revenues and stuff. So you know, we're thrilled about the success.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, certainly thrilled that, you know, DraftKings is doing so well online too.
Right, absolutely. So are you really looking forward to the fall this year? I mean, with the sports book for the entire football season, you know, it looks like after Labor Day, you're not going to hibernate like we used to.
No, I think, you know, I'm looking forward to the Cowboys getting a sixth ring, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But, no, I think
it's
going to
be great. You better not say that to your customers now. There's too many Eagle fans.
I got to say, I mean, we have had great success with baseball, with, mm-hmm. you know, all, you know, every sport out there.
Yeah.
It's been incredible. So. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are able to – we have 18 betting kiosks, so, and an incredible, robust online platform. So it's been wonderful. And then, you know, I have to say we have our own resort sports mm-hmm. online,
right.
which
yep.
is doing well. And so we're really happy with the turnout.
How about online gaming? You know, you've also got Mohegan helping you out with that as well with their brand. Has that drawn a lot of people to the property?
It has. We're the only casino that has an online gaming lounge.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go downstairs right now,
yeah.
we have a iGaming lounge, and, you know, we have a lot of new things that are going to go in there. But you know, one of the most important things is to help people get acquainted while you're on property. If you have any, you want to know about online gaming, go in there. It's almost like an Apple store. We'll train
right.
you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll teach you all about it and
sure.
so forth. So you know, and that's something that we're excited that, you know, kind of we pioneered that.
Mm-hmm.
So online gaming has been great. Our platform, you know, it's one platform that has the Resorts Casino and Mohegan
right.
Casino, but it's really competitive and tends to outperform the others. So.
Okay. And PokerStars operates under your license as well, correct?
Yes, online poker mm-hmm. and then also casino.
Right.
And sports.
And their
BetStars sports.
Yeah,
BetStars sports. So. Yeah, they've taken a full plunge into this. So yeah, it all started with Poker Stars,
right,
with it,
yes,
for us,
right,
many,
right,
years ago. So,
yeah. Great. So, you know, in Vegas, non-gaming revenue is so important. You know, the Strip is now basically 70% non-gaming, 30% gaming. I know we're not even close to that in this town, but do you see us inching forward with more non-gaming revenue as we mature here?
Yeah, I think it has to. And, you know, if you look back at our 3 or 4 or 5 major capital spends, so we expanded the Landshark. We built a sports book with a sports bar. And a new restaurant, sushi restaurant. We just opened Wet Willie's on the boardwalk, which is incredibly successful. So a lot of our, you know, 4 or 5 last projects have all been non-gaming oriented, except for the sports book,
right,
but not traditional gaming. And, you know, that's where we, you know, we're hoping that more customers that visit Atlantic City, the more of that revenue comes. And, you know, I think it's going to, you know, convention business and all
sure.
of that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's all really important.
Great. So, this summer we saw a couple of beach concerts, and I was talking to Joe Lupo a few weeks ago, and he wasn't really crazy about the results they got out of that. How did that work out for you?
Well, you know, I was disappointed as well. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my kind of the demographic and the genre of music that I was hoping for. You know, we've done beach concerts very well here, and we've done, you know, beach concerts that weren't so great. But, look, it served a purpose. I would much rather see you know, let's have an Andrea Bocelli out there, or you know, Paul McCartney, or some, you know, crazy act like Bono and
U2
or something. But you know, it brought a lot of people to town, and maybe not just the demographic that the casinos are looking for.
Well, that discussion with Joe kind of led into the shape of the city. He said he'd rather see them, you know, paving some of the roads in the city, because he said sometimes his players complain about their teeth getting shaken out on these roads as they're coming into town. So in the overall shape of the city, you know, obviously is not up to where people want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the state is involved. You know, it's led by, you know, Lieutenant Governor through the DCA and Jim Johnson. And, you know, I think they made some progress. You know, we take an active role in participating in all of that. And, you know, yeah, we'd like to, you know, this can be a city that is, you know, we're all so proud of. And we're not, I don't think we're that far away from it. I mean, I think we just have to get, you know, some of the social issues taken care of. And, you know, as Joe said, some of the infrastructure needs to be addressed and things like that. But, you know, overall, we have a lot of positives to point to. You know, we have a brand new university in town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wouldn't have come to town if they didn't think that there's a bright future. I know Morris and all of us, we wouldn't have spent $140 million if we didn't think Atlantic City had a bright future. So I think, you know, the next, you know, 5 years are going to be, you know, great for the city with the improvements that I see that potentially is going to happen. So
I was up in Boston in early May, and I ran into Ray Lesniak, and he leaked the change of government petition to me. And of course, since it's come out, everybody knows about it. But do you think that would really help to have a new form of government in Atlantic City to really, you know, change it over to be more efficient?
Yeah, I mean, I think the city manager form of government is it's a unique. There are cities in New Jersey that are very effective with it, and I think it is the potential where it's not as political, and you know, have really people working together with, you know, on council with a mayor, with this city manager, that, you know, I think can be very effective.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we you know, Morris and I, you know, we feel pretty strongly about that.
Mm-hmm. I always point to, I think that really the failing in Atlantic City was the fact that casino employees and executives couldn't participate in city government. You know, this is your town. You know, a lot of people lived here, and they couldn't participate in city government. Would you like to see that change first, and just see if you know, we'd have interest from casino employees and executives who really, you know, have a lot of the talent in town?
You know, I don't know if that's as important as, you know, just, you know, having the structure in place that can, you know, develop great policy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's you know, you can have policy on the book, but if you're not monitoring it, and you're not enforcing it, and you're not living it, then it's not effective. So,
right.
You know, we think this is a good path to a successful future.
Okay, great. So how has the summer been for you so far?
Summer's been busy. You know, we've had a great crowds. The weather could not have been nicer.
Right,
I mean, you know, if it rains at night, and the weather's just been spectacular. So hopefully we finish strong with the rest of August, and Labor Day is always really important.
Right.
And, you know,
next week the air show comes to town.
Next week is the air show. We'll be out on that deck there.
get 500,000 people in town, you know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good.
A great show.
It's going to be a great show.
So you're happy with the way that summer's been progressing so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think the summer, you know, this summer really shows that, you know, what the city can do. Now, granted, you know, we have two brand new casinos,
right.
And you know, it's you know, I guess those casinos are, you know, for in our case, you know, it has to make you better,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't sit back on your laurels. You got to develop new ways of doing business
sure.
better, and of course, always looking for efficiency, but you know, just striving for, you know, the best result for our customers and
yeah.
our employees. So,
yeah. Great. Well, Mark, thanks for the time. I really appreciate it. It's good to visit with you and catch up on the issues in Atlantic City. And you're doing a great job here. Let's see it continue.
Thank you, Roger.
I wish I could jump on a plane. So many nights I just dream of the ocean. God, I wish it was sailing again.
Hope you enjoyed this week's GGB podcast, brought to you by RIMAX, the industry's largest incentive provider and experts in customer loyalty, employee recognition, player loyalty, and corporate gifting. For more information, visit RIMAXInc.com. To learn more about the Atlantic City casino market and its future, visit GGBMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry on your desktop every Monday morning, subscribe to GGB News at GGBNews.com. And to attract quality players to your online poker, casino, or sports betting website, visit iGamingPlayer.com. So we'll see you next week on the GGB Podcast.
You are all free.